the whole I've been a saint to those poor unfortunate souls.
Hello and happy Easter, happy spring. Welcome to Poor Unfortunate Podcast. I'm Connor Perkins.
And I'm Caroline Ametti.
This is how we are starting out season four, much like Yay! Season two, with a bonus episode. So thank you to all of our returning listeners. Thanks for being here for season four. And welcome to all of our new listeners. It's great having you here with us. Please remember to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. So all of our episodes, like this bonus episode, download right to your device and you don't miss out on anything. And then, to celebrate the fact that we're starting season four, at the end of the episode, everybody is going to leave a 5-star rating and a written review wherever you listen to the podcast, especially on like Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Those reviews help us so, so much in terms of being seen in search results, being recommended, all that type of stuff. So help us out with that if you can.
I'm so happy to be here in season four. What a relief.
I am too.
Ooh,
I know.
It feels good.
So as we've done in years past for our Easter springtime bonus, we have some Easter eggs in Disney parks and in Disney films that we are going to share with you all. We have 10 total, 5 from the parks and 5 from Disney films that are just little things just sort of, you know, tease you and make you start thinking of Poor Unfortunate Podcast as we get ready Ooh. To start with our first cycle.
Yay.
So let's start with the parks. Caroline, do you want to start?
I would love to start. So as we were putting these together, I always have this need to make a theme. I think last time we did Easter eggs, it was all like sort of Cinderella related. This doesn't really have a theme, but I had to make some sort of connecting thread. I don't know why. It was really bothering me. So connecting thread of all of my Easter eggs this year is that I'm going to talk about all sorts of films and attractions that I'm obsessed with and you may or may not be sick of hearing me talk about. So we'll just give them all one last hurrah. So on that note, my first Disney Parks Easter egg has to do with my love for the now gone Great Movie Ride. So there are a few nods to that incredible attraction and its replacement in Walt Disney World, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So the most easily spotted Great Movie Ride Easter egg is in the carnival scene of Runaway Railway. If you look in between the popcorn booth and the hot dog booth where Donald is in this scene, so look for him, you will see a poster for the Great Moving Ride. And it just looks like an escalator, which is pretty funny.
I got stopped in that room and I caught that one.
Oh, yay!
It was very fun because it was just like wind everywhere.
I was going to say, that's a chaotic room to get stuck in. I got stuck in the dance studio.
Oh, that's great.
It was weird.
There's so many things to look at in that room. So I got to see the Great Moving Ride and I was like, hey, look.
Yes. So there's actually, so that one does, it still does take a bit of looking. But then there's one that's a little bit even more difficult to catch that needs a little bit of backstory. So in the ride, in the carnival scene, there's a sign for a twister roller coaster, and soon it turns into an actual twister that effectively blows you out of the carnival. To me, this is not confirmed, but to me, this seems like a nod to the Great Movie Ride's cut twister scene from The Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
Though the Great Movie Ride only brings us to Oz post-twister in Munchkinland, the original plan was to arrive there via the tornado from the film. Disney had the whole tornado apparatus prepared when they realized they only had licensing rights to 2 scenes from The Wizard of Oz. So as most of you probably know, the Twister Room became the Fantasia Room. So while it might seem like a stretch to say that the Runaway Railway Twister is a nod to the Great Movie Ride, there actually is proof. After you leave the carnival scene, you enter a room with a physical tornado rather than the on-screen one from the carnival scene. The tornado has picked up a mailbox, among other things, and on that mailbox are printed the words, "No Place Like Home." I have no idea how much internal demo happened to create Runaway Railway from the Great Movie Ride, but I remember thinking this tornado room feels a hell of a lot like the Fantasia Room to me. Just like where it lands, what the setup of the room looks like.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's unlikely that it's the same location, but it has definitely crossed my mind before. And finally, we have an audio nod to The Great Movie Ride that you have to be really, really sharp to catch. This is really hard. Obviously, the mailbox and the tornado is difficult, too. It's really hard to catch those words. So after you leave Daisy's dance studio, my personal favorite part of the ride, you enter a back alley on the way to the factory scene. Again, this section feels so much like the gangster set from The Great Movie Ride.
Mm.
As your vehicle heads towards the factory entryway, look to the left of the entryway and you will see a trash can next to a dumpster. Then you will hear a cat screech. This is the same sound effect used in the gangster scene from The Great Movie Ride. And the trash can even shakes just like it did in The Great Movie Ride, too.
Oh, fun.
So just little touches to remember it by in Runaway Railway.
I love that. So I'm going to do parks as well. And actually, that's kind of like a perfect tie-in to one of my Easter eggs. So speaking of nods to an attraction previously. So Disney's known for incorporating little nods to past attractions within new attractions, especially when one takes the show building of another. So the same is true as Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and Great Movie Ride. Same is true for that as it is for Epcot's Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. As many of us know, this attraction occupies the same space used to be known as Universe of Energy and Ellen's Energy Adventure. And while the current ride could not be more different than the 45-minute film
oh,
and slow-moving dinosaur panorama predecessor, there are traces of Ellen, Alex Trebek, and Universe of Energy still throughout Cosmic Rewind.
Ooh.
Three Easter eggs can be found in the queue/pre-show area. So as you walk through the wonders of Xandar in the queue, there is a video interview between Star-Lord and Good Morning Xandar, which is already a spoof on Disney-owned ABC's Good Morning America. And in it, Star-Lord mentions that he loved visiting Epcot as a kid and is excited to return and see Horizons, hear Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit, and visit the energy dinosaurs, which are all references to very defunct attractions.
Wow.
The second Easter egg can be seen after the second pre-show. As you begin to funnel out to the ride boarding area, the screen shows the ship schematics, and toward the bottom right of the screen under In Emergency Proceed to Star Jumpers, you can actually see the original logo for Universe of Energy alongside other symbols. It's sort of jumbled up together with them and sort of like looks like, oh, maybe this is like some sort of alphabet or something. But the Universe of Energy logo is the first one on the left. The third Easter egg in the queue can be found near the boarding area. So on the lower level where the ride vehicles are, you can see some pipes that run underneath the guest walkway that takes you over top of the track. So on the pipes in the Xandarian alphabet are written the letters ELN E equals MC2 and ALX DINO, which is a reference to Ellen, Einstein's formula for energy, Jeopardy's Alex Trebek, and dinosaurs from the previous attraction.
Oh.
Which no one would know because we don't know this alphabet, but there's actually like, there are some places in the ride where you can sort of see an alphabet key to the Xandarian alphabet. And so you can get it. And if you look at it, you can see it. But yeah, so there's Ellen, Einstein, Alex, who Einstein was one of the competitors in the game of Jeopardy between Judy, Ellen, and Einstein. Stupid Judy. The next Easter egg in the ride appears both in the pre-show and in the ride itself. So in the pre-show, when NovaCore originally contacts the Guardians aboard the Milano, you can hear an electric guitar riff in the background, and that is the original Universe of Energy theme.
Oh.
And then on the ride, right before the Big Bang scene, you can hear the same electric guitar Universe of Energy theme playing through the Milano's comms as you confront the Celestial before the reverse launch. And then the last Easter egg that has to do with Universe of Energy and Ellen's Energy Adventure is in a line of dialogue. So during the reverse launch, as the Big Bang launches you backwards and your ride song begins, you can hear Drax ask, "Was that the Ding Dang?" Which is a reference to one of Ellen's names for the Big Bang on Ellen's Energy Adventure when Bill Nye is trying to warn her through her earmuffs of the rapidly approaching Big Bang.
Wow.
So, yeah, he says something. It's faint because your song is starting, but you can hear Drax say, "Was that the Ding Dang?" And then Peter Quill says, "No, it's the Big Bang." And then Drax says, "I've seen bigger." Such a fun ride. Aww. But I love it when we get nods to previous attractions and little I mean, not to mention the fact that, like, the whole idea of going back to the Big Bang in the ride is already, like, an homage to Universe of Energy and the dinosaurs and everything like that. So I love that somehow in a ride that literally could not be more different than Universe of Energy, we still have some of that original intent there.
Well, thank you for that, because I had a full out-of-body experience when I rode that attraction, and I saw none of that, and I heard nothing. So, thank you.
Wait, you don't even... Do you remember what your song was?
Yeah, yeah. It was One Way or Another.
One Way or Another.
Uh-huh. That's a good one. Whew. Well, well, speaking of dinosaurs, let's discuss another niche favorite of mine, Dinosaur in Animal Kingdom and the Dino Institute. And I will not hear anything said against this attraction or the Dino Institute itself, and that's that.
I mean, Spaceship Earth is better, but whatever.
So to start, an Easter egg that is pretty well known. After the attraction's pre-show, as you take the steps down to the loading dock, you will see three pipes that are yellow, red, and white. Most of us know at this point that printed on the pipes are the scientific formulas for mustard, ketchup, and mayo. But I literally never took a second to think about why. Never. I just accepted it as, like, something quirky and fun. It's because Dinoland and this attraction used to be sponsored by McDonald's.
Yeah.
Restaurantosaurus used to serve McDonald's, and what is now the Trilobites kiosk used to be called Petra Fried, and it served Mickey D's fries.
Yeah.
I mean,
remember when you could get McDonald's fries in the parks?
I was thinking about, I remember what a big deal the Downtown Disney McDonald's was. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It was a different time. Oh, man. So a couple of other ones. The vehicle for the attraction is referred to as the CTX Time Rover, which is a reference to this attraction's original name, Countdown to Extinction. There is also a wall you pass in your vehicle right after the seatbelt check that reads Sector CTX WDI AK-98, referencing Countdown to Extinction, Walt Disney Imagineering, Animal Kingdom, 1998, the year the park opened. In the pre-show, starring PUA nominee Dr. Seeker, which I read a couple of places online. Again, I do not know if this is confirmed. Allegedly, his name is Grant. So he would be Grant Seeker. I hope that's true, because that's fun. Look behind Dr. Seeker and a dino skull for a red display of numbers. This is allegedly modeled after the display in the DeLorean from Back to the Future, another time-traveling adventure. And finally, right as you are about to enter the time machine once you're buckled into the ride and ready to go, check the whiteboard to your left and look for a hidden Mickey.
Oh, my next Disney Parks Easter egg has to do with a restaurant. So long have we asked for and long have we waited for Tiana's Palace to make an appearance in the Disney Parks.
Oh, we have.
Finally, that changed in Disneyland when the French Market restaurant, a quick service dining spot in New Orleans Square, was reimagined as Tiana's Palace. The restaurant itself is chock full of details and nods to the film, but my personal favorite Easter egg is over in the corner under a black and white framed photo of a jazz band are coat hooks. And hanging on the coat hooks is Naveen's hat, Lottie's red cloche hat and coat, and Tiana's olive green cloche hat and coat that we see in the film during the trolley scene. So it's touches like these that make it feel that much more lived in, real, and magical. Because, like, they're, like, real coats. Like,
yeah,
they're,
like Tiana
real
was really
coats.
Just here. Like, Lottie's just around the corner. Oh.
And I'm, like, they're vintage. Like, they're gorgeous. But it's, like, it's exactly what they wear. It's so good.
Oh, I love. I need to go there. Need. Okay, and to close out our parks Easter eggs, I'm sure one last thing that no one wants to hear another word out of my mouth about are Grand Marnier slushes. So let's talk about the France Pavilion in Epcot. Though I don't think any of us would argue with any kind of inclusion of the Hunchback of Notre Dame in the France Pavilion. There isn't any right now. But there is a nod to the Notre Dame Cathedral. At the Palais du Cinéma, now home to both Impressions de France and the Beauty and the Beast sing-along, there is a replica of a spitting gargoyle from the Notre Dame Cathedral. This replica was created from a direct casting of the original from the cathedral. You'll notice this specific type of gargoyle looks a lot like Laverne from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So that's the specific one that Laverne was modeled after.
I love that.
Moving into the Ratatouille portion of the France Pavilion, we've got a couple of things going on over here. So in this new portion of the pavilion, there is a plaque on a wall pretty close to the entrance that reads, Nadar Lessard, Inspecteur de la Santé Publique. So he is the public health inspector from the Ratatouille movie that the rats tie up and lock in the pantry.
Oh my God.
Love that. Also, there is a faux storefront in the pavilion called La Cave d'Ego, a fine wine shop. There are some Chateau Ego wine bottles in the window, and the years on the bottles are 2007, 2014, and 2021. 2007 for the year Ratatouille, the film, was released. 2014 for the year Remy's Ratatouille Adventure opened in Disneyland Paris. And 2021 for the year the attraction opened in Epcot. The tins of anchovies in the window also read Gusto for, of course, Chef Gusto. And finally, in Remy's Ratatouille Adventure itself, and this is a good one, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to catch this one. Look around during the first scene of the ride before you fall into the kitchen with Remy. So you're on the rooftops, a lot of the practical sets. As Remy is talking to the ghost of Gusto, look to the right. In the window, you can see the silhouette of a toy-sized version of the Pizza Planet truck, which makes an appearance in every Pixar movie. So it got me wondering, is it in attractions like the Seas with Nemo and Friends and just nobody has found it yet? Probably not, because Disney fans are wild. But it did get me thinking. And I thought that was so cool. And I think it goes by pretty quickly. But next time I'm there, I'm going to look for it.
Is it in the Incredicoaster?
You know, I've never been on that. But I feel like it's possible, because they're not animatronics, but there are like practical Jack-Jack is in there and stuff. So I wonder.
Is it in It's Tough to Be a Bug? I feel like it probably could be.
I feel like it's definitely possible.
I know it's in Midway Mania. And
what about the Monsters Inc. ride, maybe Rangers in Disneyland?
Maybe.
Interesting, right?
I want to go check that out.
I know.
All right, so now we're going to move into some Disney film Easter eggs. And we're going to start, you know what, a couple years ago I did one that had to do with Wreck-It Ralph. And here I am, I'm back to doing something.
Yes.
Wreck-It Ralph. There are some great Easter eggs in this film. So at the very beginning of Wreck-It Ralph, we meet Ralph in a conference room at the center of Pac-Man for a Bad Anon meeting. All of the other video game bad guys are sharing their experiences of being bad guys. And at one point, Zangief is talking and Bowser's listening. And we can sort of see over Ralph's shoulder to a bulletin board on the wall, which is like on the left. Hanging on the bulletin board is a boring old form with a bright red lipstick print. This Easter egg comes from the Academy Award-winning short Paper Man that premiered ahead of Wreck-It Ralph, in which an office worker uses a fleet of paper airplanes to find the woman he met in a meet-cute on a commuter train. The film is completely animated in black and white, except for the one form that bears the accidental red lipstick print from the woman, which leads all of the airplanes to reconnect the two lovers. This is one of, if not my favorite, short ever produced by Disney, and this is such a small detail that most people would never notice, but any Easter egg or reference to Paper Man deserves a shout out in my book. And also, this is me saying I need to talk about Paper Man at some point in season 4.
Yes, it's a must. Also, just Paper Man being in Wreck-It Ralph is so you. It's the most like you,
I know,
Easter
right?
egg. I love that.
What a good, but also like what a good pairing that the short for Wreck-It Ralph was Paper Man. Like, hell yes.
Yeah.
You hate Wreck-It Ralph.
I don't hate. hate. It is not
I
a hate.
I will never forget.
We know what I hate, and it's not Wreck-It Ralph.
I will never forget showing you that movie and then turning to you and going, so what did you think? And you went, it's fine. Can we turn on Inside Out? Gutted.
I'm sorry. You built it up too much.
I don't think I did, but whatever.
I have not seen all of Ralph Breaks the Internet. So when we're together, we can watch that.
It's okay. You don't have to.
Okay. Okay. So something else that I cannot stop talking about. There will likely never be a time in my life when I don't want to watch or talk about 2001's The Princess Diaries. So first of all, as Connor and I have been discussing, go watch the Vanity Fair feature with Anne Hathaway and watch her watch a clip from the movie and try not to weep at the things that she says and her reaction to it. It's absolutely beautiful.
So good.
Anne talks about two of the most magical people she has ever worked with. Julie Andrews, and the film's legendary director, Gary Marshall. Gary has directed many iconic films like Never Been Kissed, Runaway Bride, Beaches, Raising Helen, and Pretty Woman. And there is a Pretty Woman Easter egg tucked into both Princess Diaries films. We all know that incredible moment at the state dinner when Mia taps her glass to get everyone's attention and shatters the glass. A waiter rushes over and discreetly assures Mia it happens all the time. In The Princess Diaries 2, Mia's bracelet flies off her wrist as she gives a royal wave. Once again, a footman catches it and assures her it happens all the time. In Pretty Woman, Vivian Ward, played by Julia Roberts, accidentally sends some escargot flying out of its shell at a fancy restaurant. And a waiter, you guessed it, catches it and tells her it happens all the time. Well, guess what? The two waiters and footmen are all played by the same actor, Alan Kent. And let me tell you, Alan is giving us intention and variety in these line readings because none of them are the same. You freaking go, Alan. Alan has appeared in several other of Marshall's films, and Pretty Woman and Princess Diaries have four additional actors in common as well. Patrick Richwood, who plays Mr. Robitussin in Princess Diaries, Larry Miller, Paolo, Kathleen Marshall, who plays Charlotte, she's also Gary's daughter, never put two and two together about that, and Hector Elizondo, who of course plays Joe. It really got me thinking about the way The Princess Diaries is sort of just like a family-friendly Pretty Woman. Like, in the Pretty Woman dinner scene and the Princess Diaries state dinner, there's green sorbet served. And in that moment in Princess Diaries 2 when Mia is waving and loses her bracelet, her red gown and white gloves look a lot like Vivian's opera outfit. And my guess is that the connections do not end there because I feel like Gary is thinking about these things. And for one other little treat from him, Gary himself appears as one of the dancing guests in the film's final ball. Looks like he's having the time of his life. It's amazing.
And yes, again, can't recommend enough the Vanity Fair feature with Anne Hathaway.
We have always loved amazing. Anne Hathaway. Always, always, always.
Yeah. Theater kid energy is just excitement for the work, and that's nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to condemn. Mm. My next Easter egg comes from 101 Dalmatians, the animated feature. So apparently a lot of dog drama is happening all at once because after all the Dalmatian puppies are stolen in 101 Dalmatians, Pongo and Purdy, they call out an alert to the Twilight Bark, which is basically like a dog Amber Alert of sorts. This is one of the most iconic scenes of the film because we follow the dogs barking and spreading the news throughout London and then into the English countryside where Tibbs and the Colonel hear the message and then launch their rescue at Hell Hall. So during the Twilight Bark scene, however, you can see both Lady and Tramp silhouetted in the streets. So as a poodle named Coco climbs to the top of her owner's moving car to bark, the car turns down a street and drives off into the background. As the car drives away and the scene builds into this like cacophony of barking, we see a cocker spaniel and a mutt in silhouette appear in the foreground before zooming out on the entire city as all the dogs of London bark and howl the news. So apparently Lady is out on her Gallivant Rumspringa moment at the same time as the missing puppies in London and also manages to like cross the ocean. Who knows? But similarly, a bit earlier in the Twilight Bark scene, we see Jock the Scottish Terrier come out of a doghouse that I guess isn't his home. So, he came over with them. And then we also see this view outside a pet shop window where dogs are barking. And in the window are Bull the Bulldog and Peg the Lhasa Apso, also from Lady and the Tramp. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, maybe, I got it. Maybe it's their, like, retirement. Because if we go, like, Lady and the Tramp is turn of the century.
Yeah.
Ooh, they'd have to be old dogs. I don't know how they live that long.
What's happening? How is this all happening at the same time?
There's some weird time traveling thing going on.
There's lots of Disney dog drama that's all breaking down in London at the same time. And I don't know how these dogs managed to get overseas, but they did because it's very, these are very clearly those dogs. And like, yeah. Yes, I know it's because they just reused animation. Like, no. But.
No, we're going to come up with a backstory for this.
I don't know how it happened, but it's, yeah, big moment for Disney dogs. Big moment for Disney dogs. That night, they're all out.
Oh,
I mean, we're only
Disney
missing
dogs.
Nana at this point.
Oh, my God. Nana is probably,
I mean, that's
she would
actually
be nearby.
Well,
oh, but different time period.
She probably did.
Oh, Nana.
So that's, the, yeah, there's Lady and the Tramp. Somehow Connecticut and London are the same place.
I love it. Love it. In the turn of the century and the 50s. 50s, mm-hmm. 60s.
It's the same. Did you know?
Okay, here's my last Easter egg. And the last thing that you are all probably tired of hearing me talk about.
Is this Brandy Cinderella?
Is Merida from Brave. No, okay. It's Merida from Brave and how we know I don't love her. So we know that there are tons of Easter eggs in the witch's cabin scene, most hidden in her wood carvings. We've kind of touched on that before, I believe. Oh, and, you know, we've also touched on the theory that maybe she's Boo from Monsters, Inc. We can't, there's a lot in there. We can't really get into that. But here's something that I truly never knew about. And it's in the Brave logo in the title. I always assumed that the letters B and E in Brave were larger because it looked nice. And while that's probably true, I had no idea that Merida and Eleanor are hidden in each letter. To see this, you'll need to find the more intricate versions of the logo that look like they're carved with like knot patterns. So in the top left corner of the B, you'll see a stylized representation of Merida with her big curly hair above a swirled circle below her that I am thinking must represent the Will-o'-the-Wisp. In the top left corner of the E, you can see Eleanor with her crown and her two, like, braid-esque pieces of hair. And below her is a circle with what looks like three bear cubs within it, her sons. Too cool. I had no idea.
I had no idea either. I'm looking this up immediately.
It's amazing! And it's the kind of thing where it's like, they really didn't have to do that, and they did. And I love it.
Oh my God.
How cool is that?
Oh my God, it's there.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh my God.
Like, I had never heard a whisper of that before. I truly had no clue.
Never.
So that one was very exciting. That was like finding the golden egg in the egg hunt.
Oh my God, I love this. This might be my favorite one of this episode.
So fun, right?
I can't stop looking at it. The bear cub one is actually kind of amazing.
I know.
They're it's so hidden. It's so good.
It's just a little treat.
What a treat. And then, okay, so our last Easter egg is a Disney film. So listen, when I say pipe organ and Disney, what are you thinking of?
Well, the first thing I think of is Haunted Mansion, and it's not that.
Yeah,
it's the movie.
Exactly. Yeah, well, most people immediately go to the organist and the organ in the Haunted Mansion. For others, you might go to Captain Nemo and his organ aboard the Nautilus in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And as many people know, it's the same organ. Or at least the one in the Haunted Mansion Disneyland is the same organ that was used for the film. And then all of the other Haunted Mansions have replicas. But for me, when you say pipe organ in Disney, my mind goes somewhere else, and it goes straight to one of the best scenes in all of Disney, nay, cinema. It is the alligator pipe organ scene with Bernard and Bianca in The Rescuers. If you don't know this scene, do yourself the biggest favor of your life and look it up right now on YouTube.
I know it because in of it, you.
It's the best. It's the best. In it, the two alligators, Brutus and Nero, play a full-ass pipe organ aboard a riverboat in the Devil's Bayou to shoot our mice friends out of the pipes for a Betty Bye snack. And if, as you watch the scene, you think that this organ looks familiar, you'd be right. It also is modeled after Captain Nemo's pipe organ from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Sure, it's a bit more stripped down and inspired by it, lacks the mirror in the center and some of the detail, but the curve of the keyboard area, the pipe arrangement, and the lantern-like ornamentation on either end of the organ is very much there. So no. Now, anytime someone tries to drop that little nugget about the Nautilus organ and the Haunted Mansion ballroom organ, please do your due diligence and one-up them with the knowledge that the organ from The Rescuers joins their ranks.
Oh, I love something that I can one-up somebody with.
Yeah,
thank you.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
Well, those are our 10 little Easter eggs for you this year. We hoped that you enjoyed the episode. If you liked what you heard, please remember to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast so all of our episodes download to your device. You don't miss out on anything as season 4 kicks off. And then this is that moment where we're going to hit 5 stars. Leave a written review wherever you're listening to the podcast so other people can find the podcast. We're seen in search results. All that good shenanigans.
And please follow us on social media. We are at Poor Unfortunate Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Threads. It's definitely a good place to keep up with us as we start rolling out all of our new content for season 4. And if you want even more Poor Unfortunate Podcast in your life, please join our private Facebook group, The Poor Unfortunate Fam. We have over 100 members in that group. We talk about Disney news. We talk about the episodes. Folks share things from their Disney trips, and it's a fantastic way for Connor and I to get to know those of you who are out there listening and learn a little bit more about what you want us to cover in this upcoming season. So even if you're not on Facebook a lot, which I certainly am not, I just go on for the fam. You should do that too, because we would love, love, love to meet you.
And if you're looking for some merchandise as we kick off season 4, go to poorunfortunatepodcast.com/shop. The shop is open, and there may be some new things coming into the shop shortly. So, we're going to try and add a couple more things for season 4. So we hope that you'll see it and like it and buy it and love it. And as I always say, it does take us a little bit of money to keep the podcast up and running and coming to you. We do have a PayPal account. It is linked in our episode description and in the website links in our social media accounts. Truly, anything that you have to spare goes a long way for us. It could be $1, $5, $10, more than that. It could be a one-time donation, monthly donation, all just goes right back into the podcast, helping us keep it free and ad-free for the most part. And to all of our monthly donors, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. You are what keep us going.
For real.
All right. So here's to season 4, baby. Happy Easter, everybody. Happy springtime.
Happy Easter.
We're getting ready and we're gonna make things happen. So again, with season 4, things are gonna be a little bit different. But hopefully it'll be fun and great for you. You know,
we're just happy you're here.
All right. Well, happy season 4, everyone.
Beluga Sevruga. Sevruga.